Sports Show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audiovisual Consultations.
What would you say you do here?
I don't like to brag, but I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I manage a baseball team.
Little league?
Fantasy.
All your fantasy sports updates.
Fantasy what?
Fantasy baseball. Got Matsui.
He's worth a million in prizes.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Hey, I got a hockey record.
That's interesting, man.
Now, the host from the East Coast. Here's Wags.
That was pretty classy.
All right, you know it. Happy Father's Day, Austin, Texas, to all the fathers, not just in Austin, Texas, but all around the world. If you're a dad and you do it right, you know, it's one thing to father a child. It's another thing to be a father. You know what I mean? So if you're doing it right and being a father out there, looking after your kid, being a mentor, happy Father's Day.
Yeah,
we commend you.
Happy Father's Day to you, Wags. Happy Father's Day to my dad. And of course, like you just mentioned, happy Father's Day to all of those that don't have the title yet, but step up for the ones that stepped out.
And they, you know, there you go. I like that too, man. Because there's a lot of people out there that are definitely fathers that weren't actually the biological fathers.
Yeah, man. And those guys, you know, that's a big sacrifice to make.
That is the voice of Justin the Smash Simmons. He is stepping in for Isaiah Collier today. And we will just continue to go on and talk a little bit about Euro soccer in just a little bit here. And we'll also have Coming In Hot. Usually that's what we do. We come in hot. That's the first segment. But we're also going to have some Phil West. Phil West is the professor. Dr. Phil is what I like to call him. Well, the guy's written books, too.
Yeah, I was going to say,
when you
legit
have a publication out, like, I think you can be called a doctor.
Well, I mean,
am I wrong? And it goes with Dr. Phil, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you can give some soccer advice.
He has taught some classes over at UTSA.
There you go. That's why I called him. I remember him telling me that the first time we met, so I was just like, all right, and like, you know, cheesiness. I'm the king of cheese. I can call him Dr. Phil.
Well, he's a man of many talents.
Very much so. We will bring him on. Just, he does a very good job at chronicling events, you know what I mean? And I really want to just grab a hold of, you know, the gestation period of
I like
Austin
that word.
FC. Well, it's like the start of something. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Like, but I just want to get in there and really figure out how Austin FC grew, like from an idea, and then like how you guys were on, you know, the throw-in and had a segment of House Hunters. You know what I mean?
That's like, true. That's
this
true.
Has grown so much to, you know, an 8-game road. Roads, you know, stretched now.
Roads
now off to hosting, you know, San Jose at Q2, and just I want Phil to chronicle it. Oh, my computer just updated. Shh, be quiet, computer. But you know, I figured we bring Phil on. Phil does a good job at that. And then at 9:45, we're gonna have Heroes and Zeros. I got an Oreo out there. Oh my God.
What?
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing about fantasy baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The team can suck, and you can have a couple of, you know, a couple of studs on the team.
Well, I mean, that just sounds like the Texas Rangers in real life.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, you know, they're kind of like the same squad. But actually, your market's bigger, a lot bigger. The Rangers market's way bigger. See, this is what I'm
really?
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, I would think that the Rangers have a much more demographic and pool.
I just feel like they don't have the same historic value to the city that
I think that's
Baltimore
true,
would.
But Baltimore is a drinking town with sports problems.
Well, but it's also a town that's happened to win championships this past decade, too.
Not in baseball. Not for a while. And it feels like it's just dominated by big market franchises in the East Division. You know what I mean?
The Yankees and the Boston Reds.
So
they're always going to be there.
And here's what happens. It's kind of like what happened with Manny Machado, right? Manny Machado gets done with his rookie contract, and here comes a team getting ready to poach, you know, a big stud. I'm worried that Adley Rutschman's going to happen with that as well. So.
See, and you... And Americans feel that they can't understand the Premier League. You just basically summed it up right there. That's exactly
that
what you...
That is a pretty good comp, right?
Yes, that's exactly what United and City and the Big Six essentially do. You know, but they wait for the lesser clubs.
Well, look at what
the
Chelsea
West
did with
Hams.
Conte.
Yeah, exactly.
Conte
know?
Was discovered by Leicester, and then, you know, I like what this guy can offer. He dominates the entire midfield.
Exactly, and they're like, hey, we can also offer him more money.
And
they usually
and that's
works.
What it is. Money is usually the end all be all, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping he's going to keep Luka Doncic in Dallas, you know?
So we can explore that too, because Zay and I talked about that last week as well. I also want to get into a really good conversation about winning and losing and
Dang.
Just the difference of it. Like how the mindset between the greatest, I mean,
Because there are differences that separate the greatest athletes from legendary athletes.
Oh, well, easily.
So I want to talk about a little bit about that. We'll talk, you know, more on that a little bit about the show. But also in the second hour, I got Al Walsh coming on. Talk about all. He's probably going to be depressed. He's probably, you know, he's a Nets fan.
Oh,
this was the year. This was the year. All right.
You can't see it, but I just grabbed my heart. I feel bad.
This was the year. Okay, so
what
we'll have
game.
Walsh come on. He's going to be giving us some sound advice. So, I mean, and don't worry, I will be heavily vetting it because I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure he's on a rocker or whatever. I'm sure he's on one.
I could not imagine having to talk after watching that game and being a fan of the losing team.
Yeah,
that's crushing.
It's especially when KD brings you back. Oh,
man, that was a great game. It was so fun to watch. Like, when people tell me they don't
classic.
Like...
Instant classic, I mean...
Easily. When people tell me they don't like NBA basketball...
They're nuts.
I'm just like, what are you talking
are
about?
Are you not watching it?
Yeah, exactly.
You're clearly coming in here with a biased mind, you know, if you're... That's, or you're bringing something else into it more than just the sport.
Possibly. But, I mean, you don't want to see the best athletes in the world do their thing at the highest level because that's exactly what we saw last night.
And once Tucker went out, I was like, all right, Nets got this. Like, this is done.
Yeah, but I mean, sheesh, man. I mean, Lopez actually ended up stepping up at the end. Giannis played out of his mind, and Chris Middleton, I thought he was just going to...
People sleep on his mid-game, man.
I thought he was just going to be like Harrison Barnes. You know, a good role player, but he got superstar money. But nah, this Chris Middleton, I mean, he took some big shots, and he hit big shots.
Yeah, I thought he was a really good two. I just never knew if he could carry a team. And, you know, I said, and we actually kind of talked the same way about Chris Paul, or excuse me, not Chris Paul, PG-13, Paul George.
Wow.
Well, with Kawhi going down, we actually said, hey, can Paul George still put a team on his back and lead it?
I wasn't sure if this is what you wanted to lead off with this morning, but I mean, PG, maybe he needs to be the true number one. Everybody was asking if he was a true number two, but maybe he really needs to be the superstar, the focal point.
We can definitely explore this, man.
Don't get me wrong, though. Reggie Jackson really stepped up.
He stepped
up. Terrence Mann.
Wagner Wire tip of the week, man. I told you. I didn't have Terrence Mann on the radar. I didn't know that he was going to step up.
Nobody knew that.
I mean, that's a big... I mean, he just earned himself a huge roster spot next year, too, in my opinion.
Definitely getting pay raise somewhere.
For sure. Or somebody's looking at... He's going to be a contributor on some team.
Yes.
We got J.D. Lewis coming on in the third hour at 11:30, bottom of the hour. Talk a little bit about fantasy football and where we go from here. Talking about dynasty leagues. J.D.'s a very avid fantasy football player. Going to talk to some of the sites that he likes to... take in and get some advice on some of the sites that he likes to play and also some of the key acquisitions that are going on into the offseason. We'll have him come on and give us his knowledge, and then we'll also have Last Call around 11:45. But coming in hot.
Man, I can feel the sense
of
heat.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I said sand. We're not coming in hot just yet.
This is why I'm hot.
All right, so Sam is actually trying to work on the Twitch thing real quick. But we're doing this.
It's a good thing for you, though, man. I mean, you're a good-looking fella, you know? You're supposed to put yourself out there.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of what we're supposed to do on the horn now. It's not so much me. I think it's an actual standard around here.
I like it, though.
It's cool.
It was definitely my dream during the throw-in days. I had been wanting a similar setup to this.
It kind of has to happen, right? You know, terrestrial has to kind of transition into digital or kind of... run a parallel, kind of be like the next ski, or maybe it's just as important as the next rocket if you're going into space. Oh, I like that analogy.
Two
rockets going up.
Parallel, but, you know, in harmony. I would say I am surprised with the amount of popularity that podcasts have been able to hold. I thought since, you know, we were moving towards a more digital format as we progress as a society, I thought that was something that was going to be lost was those type of audio ventures. But I have been pleasantly surprised by the amount of people that really have like favorite podcasts and they are willing to sit there and listen or put it on.
Like appointment listening?
Yeah.
See, I
just didn't see that with our society today since we're always looking at our screens and always need to be visual stimulated.
But I think it's because we're constantly on the go. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, easily.
So within a day, you make how many 20-minute trips?
Plenty. I made plenty yesterday. Like, I made like three yesterday.
And what's your average podcast? 20, there's some hourly out there, right?
Those are the ones I always come across. Maybe that's why I never get invested.
So when I think of the metrics of that, when I do a podcast segment, I always try to keep it like 20 minutes. And that's why I assume that's why we kept our minutes here on the wheel, you know, in within the radio wheel here to 20 minute segments. And then the next one's 10 minutes. You know, I'm sure we don't hit the clock like we should all the time, but I mean, that's usually what happens. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's why podcasts have just been so hot, man.
I guess if you put it in that way, it makes a little bit more sense. But it's still been interesting, especially since, you know, with all the Twitch stuff and everything, you can get the same thing with, like, the screen.
But that, too. So, all right, so when I was at UT, I'm sitting here in, you know, I would sit in the back of class just because I felt like I was the old man. I just felt out of place. Non-traditional student. I was 30 at the time when I was going back to school.
Wow. So it's like that Rodney.
31.
Is it like that Rodney Dangerfield movie?
Back to school?
Yes, back to school.
No, I wasn't. Hey, you got a pen? No, I wasn't doing any of that. But, hey, I know you. You're tall. Yeah, and you're out of a pen, buddy. No, I wouldn't do that. But it was just weird. You know, I did feel like I was just out of place. So I would sit in the back and I would see these guys on YouTube, or what I thought was YouTube, but now I know it's Twitch.
Oh, was it Justin TV at the time?
I don't know what it was. They were watching World of Warcraft? It
wasn't World of Warcraft. StarCraft or something like that, right?
It was a video game.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think of what it was.
I'm imagining it was StarCraft.
I'm sorry. It was League of Legends. They were playing LoL already.
Dang.
And I'm just like, man, what are you guys doing? Like, you guys actually sit here and watch video games? And he just looks back at me. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, sorry, man. I didn't realize that's what people did was they actually streamed or, you know, video games at the time. I was just coming out of the Marine Corps. I was new to a lot of stuff going on in social
media. Well, I mean, that's another thing that I wasn't really expecting to take off because, I mean, I have a brother. So, you know, amazing to think. I'm going to have to tell him Happy Father's Day this time next year. But, you know, I'm used to playing some good one-player games and having to share the controller. So right. I got used to sitting there watching him. And it can be interesting, but I just didn't think it would translate over to the digital realm. But, you know, since it really is the way to diminish the distance between people in a really fast way, I can see where it does pay off. But again, it's just like, wow, you know, you just never know what is going to be hot and you just never know what's going to catch people's attention.
All right, Sammy, let's get into it, man. Let's get into This Is Why I'm Hot real quick.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Already 9:19, baby. Gotta get into it. Sam is busting his butt at back here trying to get this Twitch thing up. I don't think we're going to roll with Twitch today, Sam. Well, I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out during the break or whatever. All right, coming in hot. Austin FC, and this is not a homer call. This is not a homer call. Austin FC, everyone out there, and I'm talking to you specifically, the crew out there, all the crew fans, all the crew haters out there, hating on people in Austin saying that we're paid actors, being supporters out there. You're nuts. 20,500, all of Austin coming out, showing out for their new professional squad in their home opener. This is why I'm hot, coming in at you, Crew 96 or whatever the hell you are. I don't even care about your name. You're not even that important to me.
Man, you really did come in hot on that one, but a really exciting time for the city of Austin. One of those things that have been talked about for so many years, and finally, the wedding day arrived.
Right?
Yes, we have been talking about getting set up. Oh, man, the TIFO. The guys who are working on the TIFO, beautiful job. La Murga, Los Verdes, Austin Anthem.
So what'd you see in that mural there? You saw you saw Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray. You see Willie. You see
the iconic just characters, just icons of... Well, of Austin, man. The staples of Austin.
Barbara Jordan, they did a great job capturing the spirit of Austin in that one TIFO. But, I mean, you know, nice on them for the shout-out for the Sea Monkey and for the Leslie, you know, throw in there, too. If you're from old school Austin, if you remember going down, if you're in your 30s now and you remember going to 6th Street in your 20s, you remember running into Leslie, and that was a true Austin character.
Heard stories about Leslie.
Oh man, good guy, man, good guy. You know, obviously he had his issues as well, but I mean, an interesting character that made this city so so lively, you know?
Absolutely. In a couple of minutes here, we will have Phil West come on and talk a little bit about that scene last night at Q2 Stadium.
Man, that's the only thing. I was very fortunate, and I got to go to the U.S. women's soccer match, so the Q2 opener, but I could not get out of work to go to the match last night.
Were you able to watch it, though?
You know, I will say that I was able to listen to our friend Lincoln Rose. He was on the national feed on Sirius XM, also besides our local feed here. So I utilized his expertise on the way home in the car, and then...
How'd he do? I wasn't able to listen to the
call. Oh, no, he was solid, man.
He's always... I mean, he's clutch. That's what he was born to do, was call a game.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I was taking my notes as well. And then watching it as we got home.
We're both broadcasters, so I mean, we can appreciate when somebody's, especially like soccer, you have to know every little detail about the player too, because ring with the ball. Ring could be carrying the ball for 20, 30 yards, and you'd have to know something to say. But I mean, that's action. But
oh, well, I mean, with soccer, I mean, when everything's in the midfield, eventually that's that time where you do fit in those information tidbits.
Right.
And I mean, I'm not sitting there and like trying to like grade it, just listening to the car, and it's just like everything just sounds great, you know? So a solid job by Lincoln on the call last night, at least the radio call. I didn't get a chance to hear too much of the CW call because I didn't get to watch the CW feed. I watched it on Twitter. There was a multitude of ways to watch it last night. I also utilized some Unimas when I was able to find it. But, you know, Twitter basically took me home for the rest of the way and got to see the last 70 minutes. But that crowd was rambunctious. It was amazing to see.
20,500. And Phil will definitely get us... recount.
But the flags, Wags, like everything waving, there was just movement and loud noises during the entire match. And it really, like, I remember talking about how soccer could be the heartbeat of the city. And last night, it truly was. Like, I don't live far from that stadium, and you can hear the noise the entire night until the final whistle. It was crazy.
Like, and I want to know how many people stayed around after the event. I mean, usually, and I was taxing.
Given the parking situation, probably more than
that's
think.
What we need to talk about too. Like, you know, they had a nice little dry run with, you know, the women's national team on what was it, Wednesday night. And you know, shout out to the ladies for hosting Nigeria and getting the win there.
No, nothing like having the world champions visit your home.
Right, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you got to see the world champions. That's so cool.
Sell out crowd too.
Yes, sell out crowd as well.
Man, that's already making them $14 for beer. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah, we definitely need.
We got to go to break. On the other side, we will have Phil West come on. And remember, Phil West is always, you know, the professor in my heart, but he's also a writer for Striker Texas and MLSsoccer.com. He's going to give us a little bit of a recount of what happened last night at Q2 Stadium with our professional home soccer team now, man, Austin FC. Grow the legend. The legend has grown, baby. Roots are invested heavily in Austin, Texas. Don't go nowhere. It's the Wagner Wire.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on this June 20th. Happy Father's Day out there to all you fathers. And a good father out there right now is on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It is Phil West. He is a writer for the Striker Texas and MLSsoccer.com. And he's also here to chronicle just the buildup from where we started with this thing and how it's going now, as the trendy things like to be on social media, you know. So, Phil, can you recount? Well, first of all, happy Father's Day and welcome to the Wagner Wire.
Thank you very much, Adam. Appreciate that.
How are you feeling, sir, Professor Phil? How are you feeling?
I'm a little froggy. I got to say, my throat's a little sore.
You sound wonderful.
Oh, thank you. No, I was embedded with the supporters last night for the first ever Austin FC home game, which was, again, no goals, scoreless draw, but otherwise a very, very incredible experience all the way around.
Got the point, buddy. We got the point. You know what I mean? That's all. That's at least we are taking home something from hosting, you know, our first. But it's San Jose. I feel you, man. I feel you.
I got to get some home wins and home draws, you know, to get into the playoffs, which I think is the goal. So, but yeah.
All right, Phil. You've been on this. You've written, you know, books on soccer. You're an avid soccer fan. The United States of Soccer is what you've published already. I'm sure you've got some other projects that you're working on, but I mean, you got such a great pulse on the sport, and especially in our Fairburg of Austin here. You're a writer for MLSsoccer.com on the national level. Just can you recount and chronicle how this thing has started from MLS to ATX to
So it kind of, in a way, started in 2013 when Josh Babetsky, who heads up Austin Anthem, which is one of the two big supporters groups in town, basically just kind of tried to gauge the temperature of things in Austin and try to get fans together to rally. And at the time, it didn't seem like expansion was going to come here. And then, of course, there was the whole saga with Anthony Precourt wanting to move the Columbus Crew down to Austin in 2017, and then obviously we had all the city council stuff to try.
Crew supporters, good bunch of people, yeah.
Yes, I enjoy them in my Twitter feed.
They love you, Phil.
Can I ask why are they still so bitter? They have a team. They're getting a new stadium. What's the deal with them?
They have a new stadium. They won an MLS Cup. I don't know. Just some people are just gonna hate like that. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would move on if I was in that position, but some people, you know, don't want to let it go, I guess.
It's like, you know, sometimes your significant other might be interested in something else, and you can't do anything about it. Just get over it. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're coming. I mean, they're coming next Sunday.
So oh, we'll I know. They're coming.
It's going to be fun.
They're going to come and enjoy the sunshine and the beer. And they're going to have a great time.
And they're going to say, we're all paid actors, Phil. We're all paid actors.
And we're going to see them all on 6th Street, just like I saw all the other tourists last night from San Jose.
We're McConaughey's, acting academy.
Can somebody tell me where McConaughey got the Verde tuxedo kit? Because I need my own.
No idea.
That's the reporting that the striker needs to be doing, Phil.
Phil, are your eyes all right? Did you have to wear a special pair of sunglasses when that man walked onto the pitch?
Yeah, I was just getting back to my seats. I was just getting, you know, the pregame refreshments geared up. And it's like, oh, you know, on one hand, it's like, oh, I wondered kind of what McConaughey was going to do. And there it is. But like I was writing some for MLS Soccer this morning and, you know, had to recount McConaughey in the Verde suit with the bongo. And nothing about writing that sentence really surprised me.
Right.
Like, yep, that's what he's going to do. And yeah, it was a great moment. And, you know, series of whole great moments last night. So, you know, obviously some chances. Kind of got to see what the supporters have been gearing up with over the last months in preparing for this. And I mean, I thought everything sounded really good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it was on the broadcast, but yeah, it was certainly loud in the stands.
20,500 people showed out. Austin did a beautiful and fantastic job. We had the, you know, a wonderful mural there. You had Stevie Ray on there. You had you had some Willie there. Can you talk about the energy and the electric that was in the stadium? Because what I'm trying to ask, could players hear themselves talking out there? How loud does 20,500 sound in Q2?
I think it sounds pretty loud. I mean, the U.S. women's team opened things up on Wednesday, and one of the players after the game was talking about it was refreshing for a change not to be able to hear the player next to her. so I can imagine, yeah, that it's the same for Austin FC than it was for the women's team. I mean, with the women, we got to see like what goals sounded like, and you know, pretty well.
Right, but, right.
You know, and I, you know, of course that's gonna come.
Obviously. Sure.
But isn't that impressive that considering it was a nil-nil draw, there is still all this excitement surrounding the game and the atmosphere really did carry what at times could be a little drawn out. But game-wise, though, I think you would admit that they had a
rather... Hold on. I want to talk about the venues real quick before we get into the game, just real quick.
Like, definitely.
Okay, so what was the best? Did you take in? Did you consume anything there? What was the best thing you did if you did consume?
How was the food?
The only thing we got was nachos. I was really eyeing Valentina's. Okay. The line was kind of prohibitive. Wednesday though, yeah, I was in a line for that for a while, and second half was nearing. And I got a sample rib.
Oh, how big was that guy?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to be handing out free samples, but it was like, you want to rip? Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Not anymore, since you just said that over the air.
Yes, they will. No, that'll entice people. Actually, no one needs to be enticed to go there. It's such a fabulous thing. Did you take in any beer in the stadium, Phil?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well, and can you confirm the prices of $14?
Yeah, they're pricey. They're pricey beers, but I mean, it's a stadium. I mean, it's sure. not. I don't think it's exorbitant compared to a lot of other stadiums around the league, or you know, you go to a Cowboys game or a Texans game, and you're gonna pay quite a bit. So yeah, I mean, that's you're gonna spend a little money doing that. And there's still some kinks to work out. Like we tried to get a lift home, and ended up having to call my brother-in-law to come get us because Lyft was just kind of not operating, or it was prohibitively expensive. I don't know. So I mean, there's still some transportation stuff. I mean, we're hearing some things Wednesday. In the Striker, we've done like a whole big deep dive on just kind of the transportation issue and how to get there. Like on Wednesday, a bunch of us went a bunch of different ways. I'm eventually going to do like kind of the train bike combo, but I was with my wife, so
right.
So it's going to be kind of a trek from my house. I'm over kind of like, in the Mueller area. It'll be a bit of a trek, but I think it'll all, obviously work out over time. I mean, this was just the first home game, and certainly, I think things are going to get figured out over time.
So it is a little bit bumpy, getting in and getting out. I'm sure, it's only the second time that they've been able to actually run through this, evolution.
Yeah, I mean,
easily.
Discouraged driving, and I know that there's probably some places that you can park around the stadium that aren't kind of officially labeled as parking things. I know that there's an app called Pavement with an I that you can buy parking through, but that was always going to be kind of a sticky wicket with that particular location, but we'll see what kind of happens over time.
I have to admit that is one of the things I was surprised that we kind of just laminated over. I think everyone was so infatuated with the actual prospects of having games played that we kind of overlooked like the logistics of how people were going to get right. in and out of this place. Because mm-hmm. while I understand that they were going for like a less car approach, we live in Texas, and you are car dependent. And
you get reliable rails.
Yeah, until we get to that point.
Or reliable transportation.
Man, don't get me wrong. The city has done a better job of trying to deploy more. But, on Wednesday, I only live a couple of miles away, maybe about 2.5, 3 miles away from the stadium. After that match, I ran home, literally ran home and beat people home because they were still waiting at the stadium. I mean, right. that's unfortunately unacceptable,
All right, Phil.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to do it.
But it shouldn't have to be that way.
But it is, it's efficient. You get your workout in.
I did.
Absolutely. You get motivated.
But I spent $14 on the beer. I don't want to have to work it all out at once.
Well, why not? I'm telling you, man, you're already ahead of the game, if you ask me. Let's pivot to the match itself there, Dr. Phil. All right, again, if you're just following us, you can follow. We're speaking with Phil West, writer for The Striker Texas and MLSsoccer.com. He's also got a publication out there, a book out there, The United States of Soccer, and you can find him on Twitter at Phil West. It's pretty difficult. That's a difficult handle to find there. And he's just an avid soccer fan, and he's just got a great pulse on the game, on the beautiful game itself, and we have him on the Wagner Wire to chronicle just how it's where it started and where it's at now in terms of the life of the tree of Austin, Texas here. The roots are planted and we have grown full-fledged baby here in our Fairburg. But Phil, let's recount the game itself. I am a fan of Cecilio Dominguez in the false nine. I love his speed. I love his pace. I love the way that he, he can get the ball in the midfield and make the turn and then go and attack. But we gotta figure out something when we get into our attacking third. We still struggle to get goals. Stuver, by far, you and I talked a little bit about last night before I nodded off. He is an all-star, man. Another clean sheet for Stuver here. That back line is fantastic as well. Beasler coming in and being a stud as well, a beast. Lima, you gotta talk about some of these guys as well. He's got some tremendous help. Good communication there, but Dr. Phil, can you elaborate a little bit on the match?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Stuver, another 9 saves. I had the call last week after the Kansas City game that he should be an all-star consideration.
Can we start that right now? Let's start that petition. Yeah. Let's start that drive. Brad Stuver for MLS keeper all-star because he was fantastic last night.
Yeah, and I mean, not just, I mean, these,
all
you know,
season.
These aren't routine saves that he's making either. I mean, there's some real acrobatic things that he's doing, you know, again, for the second week in a row. And, yeah, the back line, like you're saying, I mean, obviously you've got Ring as one of the best D-mids in the league who's on top of that. Lima played out of his mind last night.
I mean, I think a lot of that
might have to do with playing his former teammates, right?
That usually helps. Motivation, yeah.
So, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, in terms of Dominguez and the false nine, I mean, there's some offense players that are obviously missing right now with injuries. So Wolf's having to be a little bit kind of creative about how they set up. So for the second game in a row, you saw Pochettino kind of playing more advanced than he typically does. And you saw Fagundes putting in a lot of defensive work, though. I thought he had the best chance of the game in the 10th minute. That header that almost tricked San Jose's goalie, but not quite, unfortunately, because that place would have exploded.
Right.
Had that happened. So, but definitely an attacking third. Yeah, they do need more ideas, more creativity. I mean, you look at that Denver game where, you know, against Colorado, where they had three goals in 12 minutes. That's half their output all season. I mean, they've only got six goals in nine games. They've had five games where they haven't scored at all. I mean, some of them have been scoreless draws, so that's worked out. But certainly, yeah. I mean, the idea is that there might be some July reinforcements that are coming. And then the striker a few weeks back, a bunch of us just kind of looked at some kind of potential players that might be out there that are enticing that perhaps, you know, we get those deals done and bring those people in.
That was enticing, yeah. Phil. What are you guys looking at there? I mean, you know, were you trying to stomp your foot there because you got my attention?
Yeah, it looks like you guys have already gone shopping. I
mean, you're pretty good at teasing, Phil.
Yeah, there's one player from Monterey that I think might actually be going to Nashville now. His name is Ake Loba. Really interesting forward. Some other guys, Leo. Just look at the article and look at the list.
right on.
I mean, a lot of it is kind of speculation at this point, but in terms of kind of the price ranges that are there, in terms of just kind of thinking about who, you know, might be in that kind of designated player sort of sweet spot, might have, you know, some ideas in terms of what they do. Because, again, yeah, I mean, the roster rules for MLS are kind of nebulous and murky and hard to figure out. But essentially, we might be able to do some creative things to bring in either some under-22 players or bringing in just kind of one stud designated player who would be, you know, kind of in that, you know, 25 to 28-year-old range.
We can find that on the striker, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What is, from your take, what is, like, the plan of this franchise? I know they always want to go young. They're trying to bring in a lot of youth, but I'm interested because, you know, we had been building up to this moment yesterday. It's kind of like planning a wedding. You talk about it for months, in our case, years. You know, we're going to have this day. We're going to have this day. And it finally happened. Now, luckily, you know, we came away with a draw, because if it wasn't for Stuver, that could have easily been a loss and it would have been a sour party last night. So Stuver again for MLS All-Stars. But I want to know, now that the wedding has happened, how do you foresee this honeymoon period taking place? I mean, it's going to be a long, hot summer, and eventually I think the fans are going to start wanting W's. And if those don't come, I'm assuming that fans are going to want a higher value, a higher name player to come in to at least make it seem like they're trying for those fans that aren't intimate with the knowledge of MLS. And those young players coming in.
Yeah, one of the things that's really struck me about this early part of the season is the players talking about just kind of how much learning is happening and how much Wolf is teaching. So, I mean, I do think that it is going to take some time for everything to gel, because as you've seen, they're, you know, they are trying to play out of the back. They are trying to, you know, kind of institute some very kind of specific ways to play and to be creative. And they do have some players out right now. So, I mean, they have been battling injuries. So, I mean, that hasn't exactly gone to plan. I mean, you've got a couple of people who are already, you know, who are supposed to be part of the mix, like Ben Sweat and Ulysses Segura, who are basically done for the season at this point. And Danny Hosen's still been kind of a big question mark. He's been out for a few weeks with injury, and he hasn't been kind of producing to the level that I think a lot of people expected him to start the season.
Well, once they saw his paycheck, they expected a lot more.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's not quite at the level of what FC Dallas fans are experiencing with Frank O'Hara when it got you know, revealed that he was making like nearly $3 million
right.
scoring. But you know, $750 K for, you know, an MLS salary. I mean, you do have expectations, you know, even in that range, that a player that's being paid like that is going to produce.
Well,
so certainly some question marks there.
Not just because of the payment, but because of his pedigree as well. You know, this is a guy that has played in some huge matches at the international level. So just expecting him to bring that experience and that class onto the pitch. But even Gonzalo Higuain even said, you know, he was expecting to smoke a cigarette in MLS and have fun, just run up and down the pitch, and found out he couldn't do it. Like
only Zlatan can do that.
Only Zlatan. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, and I mean, you know, Hosen knows the league pretty well. I mean, again, he's another player that came over, you know, from San Jose. So, I mean, he's been here a while. I mean, he knows what it is. And the way that when he's healthy, that he can kind of move the ball and help connect the midfield, you know, that's what they were looking for him to do coming in. I mean, and that just hasn't quite panned out yet. So, you know, again, I think it's just a matter of, you know, kind of being patient and trusting Wolf and hoping that some reinforcements come in, that Claudio Reyna does that work, and to just kind of see them continue to evolve. I mean, there have been some real bright spots. I mean, you know, Jared Stroud in certain kind of, you know, situations and in games has looked really solid. I mean, the guy can just flat out run.
Dude, he was getting mugged. They were holding him all night last night too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, Diego Fagundes, it's incredible. He's like, what, 25, 26. He's already a 10-year MLS veteran. And he's just, I mean, he's bringing just a lot of really good energy. And I mean, you can see him work on offense. You can see him work, you know, on defense. It's kind of part of a double pivot with Ring and some of these things that have happened recently. There's good solid players on this team.
And Fagundes brings that winning, you know, vibe and mentality from New England too. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of really good sound key. Like you look at the team on paper, Phil, and we look like contenders. We really do. Yeah. We just got to get it all together.
Yeah, I mean, I had us pegged at the start of the season, maybe, you know, getting sixth in the West, like sneaking into a playoff spot and, you know, maybe making a little bit of a run. But I do think that it's going to depend. You know, again, you look at your key players, right? You look at Dominguez, you look at Pochettino, the ceiling that they have. Are they going to be able to achieve that? And then now, obviously, the kind of idea of summer signings coming in and being able to have those reinforcements and really get those quality attacking players that can kind of help connect it. I mean, we've seen this team do it. I mean, the game against Colorado where we had 3 goals in 12 minutes. You know, they look fantastic. They were moving. I mean, that's the kind of beautiful attacking style of play that I think is the goal. It's just a problem with consistency, and it just hasn't manifested as much as it could yet.
Well, they were much better around the final third last night. I think it was like over 70% in the attacking third, and that was a stat that I always look at with them because they just haven't been able to link up in dangerous areas, and they were much more dangerous last night. And like you mentioned, it happened early, so you saw them trying to press. But again, my question goes back to it, Phil. You know, the wedding happened, the honeymoon period is now upon us. What is it going to take to keep fans interested in this team? Is everybody just giving them a pass for the first year, or are fans expecting some W's, or is it going to take a big signing? And if that signing does occur, is it going to be somebody like an L3 player? Does it have to be somebody that has some national team experience or something to that magnitude to keep fans, you know, returning to the Q2?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a core group of fans that are going to return. I think they have a lot of licenses first year. I mean, I think playoffs are the goal. I think, you know, if we make the playoffs, it's an absolute, you know, slam dunk season. Things are great. If we don't make it, you know, and we show some encouraging signs in places like we already have, you know, I think it's good. I think it's progress. I think it's kind of building towards that. Yeah, I mean, I think year two and year three is where that expectation of playoffs really does kick into a higher gear. And if it's not happening on that level, then there's certainly, you know, more questions to ask. And certainly, I mean, again, yeah, there's certainly criticisms that you could have about the team kind of right now as it's currently configured. But yeah, like you were saying, I mean, there's a lot of good veteran depth on this. You've got Fagundes, you've got Matt Beisler, who is seasoned. I mean, these are players that have come from winning programs. They've been with really good coaches, and they know the league, and that's really key in MLS. I mean, like you were saying with Gonzalo, you know, over at Inter Miami, you can have talent, but if you don't know how gameplay happens in MLS, if you don't get used to the schedules, if you don't get used to the travel, it's going to take some adjustment.
Hey, Phil, one quick question. We're moving into extra time here. We got about 2 minutes left to play. That's what that's what the referee just put up on the clock here or on the board. So from what I can tell, Stuver is only signed until 21. Does that contract extension come, or do we take care of that in the summer? Or he's got to be locked in, right?
I think they'll figure it out. I mean, it's really interesting. The start of the season, just kind of thinking about that. You had Andrew Tarbell, which was kind of pegged to be the starter just because he'd had kind of more reps, including that playoff run with the Crew last year. But Stuver, I mean, he was saying after last Saturday's game, somebody asked if he's surprised by how he's been performing. He said, "No, absolutely not. I just needed to run a game because." He was behind some really good goalies. He was behind, Zach Steffen in Columbus and behind Sean Johnson in New York, and just needed to get his chance. So, yeah, I mean, I think just the way that he's playing and the leadership that he's bringing, not just on the field, but just the community. I mean, he's a solid all around guy. And, yeah, they absolutely need to lock him up. I think he wants to stay in Austin. And I definitely think that Austin FC continues to be interested in his services.
Phil, really, really quick, how important is it that Austin comes away with points in Minnesota? They have a short turnaround before the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, and Minnesota's had its struggles itself this year. I actually thought Minnesota was going to win MLS Cup. I mean, Emmanuel Reynoso is, I think, the best kind of pure number 10 in the league, but they just, kind of like Austin, they just haven't been able to necessarily do it in the final third consistently the way that people thought. So, I mean, again, if you're on the road and you're getting a point per game, that's a pretty good clip. And if they can do that, I mean, of course they won there, back in early May, their first trip up there. So, certainly they know how to do that. They can do it again. I don't know. My spidey sense is kind of telling me that that's going to be a draw. But they're definitely going to be up for Columbus, who also look like an MLS Cup contender. They've been struggling a little bit this year too. So, and I feel like a lot of people are going to be up for that one, obvious reasons, all the saga that we have experienced over the last few years.
Nothing but the best from Phil West. You can find him on Twitter at Phil West. It's a pretty difficult handle to find, that's for sure. Yep. He writes for the Striker Texas and MLSsoccer.com. He's also got a book out there. Make sure you buy it. And if you definitely love the soccer talk that you heard right now, you'll love even more what you read in the United States of Soccer. Phil, thank you so much for joining the Wagner Wire this morning.
Thank you. I'll have a great day.
You too, brother. Hey, drink some water, man. Drink some water.
I am.
All right, bud. We'll see you, man. Be good. There he goes, Phil West. All right, we got to go, too. We are way behind. The referee's already blown his whistle. Hey, on the other side, man, we're going to put this thing together and get you off to the second, the second hour of the Wagner Wire. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. It's the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Stream it live at hornfm.com.